this morning and turn to John chapter 13. I might end up preaching from Genesis the way the wind's blowing. John chapter 13. Some commentators have written about chapter 13 that it was or is the highlight of the whole book. It is a it has a lot of good information, a lot of good stories that we learn a great deal from in this passage. Last week we started we're looking and we saw what stimulated, what caused Jesus to decide, what made him serve, what made him a servant, his love for people, his knowledge of the conditions, the time, where he was, when he was. He recognized the signs of the time. Those things should still motivate us to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And last week we looked at the three ways that he served. This one, I want us to actually, we're going to see now Christ himself, the Savior, as a servant. You're familiar with this story. You may not know the exact wording, but all of us have heard the story and know of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, and that's a story that perhaps you've seen played out in movies or in church dramas. But there's three things that I want us to walk away with this morning about this story as Jesus. as Jesus washes the feet of his disciples as they're gathered there. The Bible tells us, beginning in verse 5, that as they were sitting there, verse 4, says that he gets up from supper, lays aside his garments, takes a towel, and girded himself. Poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter says unto him, And Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. As we look at that passage this morning, there is, in those handful of verses, there are so many directions that we can go with this text. There are so many lessons that we can draw, whether we're looking at how Peter responds, whether we're looking at the actions of Christ, whether we're looking at the prophetic implications. You could probably write a 1,000-page book on those few verses. There's just honestly that much information, that much material there. This morning I just want to take just a moment and pull three things out of here that strike me in this passage with the Savior as a servant, being my title this morning, my thought, the Savior as a servant. This amazing story of Jesus getting up from the supper and pulling off his outer garment and wrapping himself in a towel and beginning to wash the feet of the disciples. I hope this morning you've got enough spiritual imagination power to begin to kind of visualize and see that scene as Jesus makes his way around the room. There's a great deal of debate among those who study this passage. Did he start with Peter? Was Peter the last one he came to? Or perhaps he was in the middle? A lot of that thought kind of changes how the whole scene looks. You can picture as Jesus makes his way around the room, and outspoken Peter's probably leaning up in his chair, and he's just watching, and he's watching Jesus make his way around, and he finally gets to him, and he says, "Hey, well, you gonna wash my feet?" Or maybe he came to Peter to begin with to set the tone for the room, but either way. What we have here is Jesus taking on the role of servant. We know from Scripture that we see him as the suffering servant, that he came, he says, to do the will of the Father. Everything about the ministry of Jesus Christ, everything about his time here on earth was about being a servant. All the way to the cross, we see that Christ was acting as a servant, living as a servant. And so, as we look in this passage, the first thing I want you to notice that you and I can draw from. What do we learn about being servants? To be honest, most of us, we're more like the disciples. As I told you 2 weeks ago, when we take John and we take Matthew and Mark, Luke, and we take the other Gospels and bring them all together, we know that just before these events, the disciples had been arguing among themselves about who was going to be the greatest. Again, these disciples are still, they're still expecting Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom, to take control, to liberate the Jews from the Roman oppression, and so they're having this debate. This, let's just call it what it is. It's an argument about who is going to be, you know, Jesus' right hand man. Who's going to be his deputy? Who's going, you know, what's their place going to be in this new kingdom? And in that, in the midst of that argument, Jesus gets up and performs the act of a servant. And again, most of us, we're probably a lot more like the disciples. We'd be, if we were in that room, we would have been arguing about what our position was going to be in the kingdom. But if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to model our life like him, and I can't imagine that anyone here would argue with that statement, that we are called, if we're going to call ourselves Christian, the very word Christian means Christ-like, to be followers of Jesus Christ, then you and I have to learn to be servants. And I say that. We have to learn to be servants. There are a few people that I have met along the way in my life, probably like you, who seem to just naturally have a bent towards servitude. They're just that kind of person. I can think of one that just stands out in my mind. That's my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, we may not agree on everything, but one thing I will tell you about that lady, she has a servant's heart. She will scrub and clean the church. church. She's had that stroke and barely can't get around, but she's in her kitchen making cakes. Well, not cakes. She does pies. She doesn't do cakes too much. She does making pies for other people who may be fit. She's got a servant's heart. Some people have that they have that naturally, but most of us, we don't want to be one of the Indians. We want to be the chief. And we need to learn from Jesus' example what it means to be a servant. And so the first thing that I notice about this story is that Jesus takes on the posture of a servant. He takes on the posture of a servant. This feet washing thing. Well, let's talk about this a second. This feet washing thing is not something. Again, most Baptist churches, we don't practice the act of foot washing, but it's just something that most of us have not really been involved in. But I think we can get enough idea about it to know that we'll pass on that one. That's not something most of us want to get involved with. Most of us, you know, we're not real crazy about other people's feet. And this was an act. What the practice was about, again, remember the times, they walked everywhere they went. They walked on dirty, dusty roads, and ordinarily they were in sandals. And so, when they would come in, ordinarily there would be someone there, to wash their feet. And that job was assigned to the lowest ranking Jew they could find. In fact, ordinarily, many cases, this was such a undesirable job. This was such a this was looked at so low that ordinarily they wouldn't even do it themselves. They would find a Gentile and force a Gentile into the servitude of washing people's feet. That's what they thought of this act. And so, I've talked to, you know, people go and, you know, they get their feet did today, and I've talked to some folks who do that and say, how do you, I don't think I could do that. You're just gonna have to have dirty feet and nasty toenails. I just don't think I got that in me. And a lot of people who have told me, oh no, says most people who when they're coming to get their feet done, they're so self-conscious, they've done washed them and cleaned them up enough that I don't have too much to do. But back then that wasn't the case. There was some nasty feet put in that bowl. And Jesus takes on the posture of a servant. Now, let's talk about this word servant for a moment. This word servant, we talked about this some Wednesday night on our conference call for prayer meeting. This word servant is used slave in the New Testament. That word meant that servant, that slave in that time, he got his entire identity from his master. He didn't have any worldly dreams. He didn't have any aspirations. He didn't have any possessions. He was who he did what the master told him to do. Listen, if we're going to resemble in any form or fashion Jesus Christ, we have got to take on ourselves the posture of a servant. We have got to be willing, and I know that may seem like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 simple, but to be a servant, you've got to take on a servant's heart. You've got to have the attitude of a servant. You've got to be willing, to say, Father, I'll go, where you send me. I'll do, what you want. I'll do what you want, when you want, how you want. I will take on the posture, of a servant. Listen, most of us as believers, even as Christians, we have the attitude, somebody else can do it. Somebody else should do it. Yeah, I know that person over there. They need to hear the gospel. The deacons ought to go do it. Yeah, I know they need to hear the gospel. The preacher ought to go talk to them. I know they need help. Somebody ought to go help them. You know, I've used before my picture, and probably a lot of you have seen this, of people walking in the grocery store, and a lot of times the doormat right there at the door will get flipped over. And I've watched many times we used to, when we'd take the bread into, we'd have to stand up front and wait on the manager to check our ticket. And I've stood there many times, and I've watched people come in and step over the mat and look back at it, point at it, and say, somebody needs to fix that, and carry right on through the grocery store. Listen, to be like Jesus Christ, we take the posture of a servant. There is nothing that we're not willing to do, nothing we're not willing to know where we're not, that we won't go to serve Jesus Christ. That we have that posture about us. That this was not typically, would have not been the job of Jesus. You know, this would have not been the task of Jesus. This would have been, again, a low person. If anything, again, what Peter was saying, to some extent, Peter was correct. It should have been the other way around. The disciples should have been washing the feet of Jesus. But Jesus takes on the posture of a servant. He's willing to be embarrassed. He's willing. Anybody here ever work with somebody or for somebody, and there be a job that needs to be done, and they'll look at you and say, it's not my job. I look over here because Amy and Diane's the only ones I can see out of their cars. Anybody? You ever work? Not my job. I don't know about you, but that kind of bothers me a little bit. That irritates me some. Yeah. Rhonda, the other day, was at a little shopping center in Kannapolis, and 9 times out of 10 when you go by, their buggies are down in the side ditch way out near the road. And she said, why didn't somebody, when they're going to work, stop and get those buggies? And I said, you serious? Seriously? You really think they're just on their own going to get out of their car and go get those buggies? Yeah, no, not my job. No, they don't pay me enough to do that. You know the kind of comments they make. We make. But if we're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that we're not willing to do for Him. We're willing to take on the posture of a servant. Not only the posture of a servant, but I want you to notice something that just feeds into that. The persistence of the Savior. Look in verse 6. Peter, I can almost picture Peter sitting there as he's sitting, and he's probably sitting there, and he's, you know, sitting like this, and when Jesus comes to him, I can picture him pulling his feet up and drawing them back where Jesus couldn't get to him. He actually says, if you take what he says here and really look at it, what he says, never in this world will I let you wash my feet. No way, no how. And Jesus responds with a passage that I'm not going to do justice to this morning for the sake of time. Jesus responds and says, listen, you got to have your feet washed. If I don't wash your feet, you're not what you ought to be. If I don't clean, and what Jesus was symbolizing here very quickly was the difference. And Peter says, "Hey, well, if feet's good, just give me a bath." And Jesus says, "You don't need a bath. The bath symbolizes being saved, being cleansed from unrighteousness, being saved." What Jesus was doing here with cleaning the feet was he was saying, we're going to get the road dirt off of you. We're going to get off of you the things you pick up as you go along. And Jesus persisted with Peter that you must have this done. Listen, I want to tell you something that you need to know. If you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you better write this down. You know, however you take notes. You need to write this down. You not only must take on the posture of a servant. you have to have the persistence of the Savior. You must have persistence. Listen, when you set out to serve Him, you're going to run into family, friends, co-workers who are going to do everything in their power to undermine you serving Jesus Christ. Any of you ever run into that in your Christian walk? Really? I'm glad. There's one. Two of you. Good. The rest of you had it made. But I don't have a horn, but I'm going to blow mine and tell you that most of us, when you discover that the more you try to be a servant of Jesus Christ, the more your, and in particular your family and your friends, are going to push back. Here we have one of Jesus, what you could make an argument was the leader of the disciples. Peter is obviously the spokesman. Peter is obviously you might as well say he is the head disciple. He is the main disciple. And of all the disciples there, Peter is the one who pushes back against Jesus' act of service. He is the one. Again, let's think about it. Peter's not done pushing back. When they come to arrest him, what does Peter do? Peter grabs the sword and lops off the ear of the soldier. Peter is pushing back against the service of Jesus. If you just set out in your mind, I'm going to serve God, there's going to be someone like Peter in your life. I'm struggling. I'm going to make everybody get signs and put up on top of your car so I know who's in the car. But I recognize Larry's car back here. And most of you know, Larry comes out here, he sits out here, minds his business, don't bother a soul, sits out here and prays for people as they come by. But I heard it with my own ears. One of Larry's longtime friends, childhood friends, who looked him in the eye and told him, said, "You're crazy. Yeah, you're crazy." Now, everybody that knows Larry's childhood friend knows that Larry's childhood friend is actually the crazy one. But anyway, but if you set out to do something, If you tell somebody, I'm going to go to the mission field, or if you decide to serve Jesus Christ, you're going to have to be persistent. Not only the very gates of hell, Satan himself, but your friends and family will undermine you at every opportunity they are given, every chance they're given. Well, some of you have been there in your own home. Listen, I grew up that way. I've seen it all my childhood life, all my teenage years. Listen, this Mother's Day, I'll stand here in front of God and country with my mother sitting in the parking lot, and I've never been in the military, so I don't know how to do it proper, but I salute my mother because I know how many times she had to fight battle you just don't know, because she took me to church. And I can't stand here today and express to her my undying lifelong gratitude. She's done a lot for me. She's been there for me through thick and thin. But I know the price she paid. I know the physical, the emotional price she paid to have me and her in church each week. I know it wasn't easy. It may be in your own home. Some of you husbands, some of you wives, you know that sometimes it's your children, sometimes it's your spouse. But if you're going to serve God, you're going to have to be persistent. You're going to have to take the posture of a servant. You're going to have the persistence of the Savior. And then finally this morning, I want you to notice the last thing in these last two verses in verse 8 and 10. He has the purpose of a saint. Why was Jesus washing the disciples' feet? I don't know about you, but as I read this passage, that puzzles me a little bit. I mean, I know why they washed feet, don't get me wrong. But why was Jesus doing it? Well, I think there's several reasons, several things that Jesus was showing as He washed the feet of the disciples. One of them, we've already talked about. He was simply showing the disciples what it meant to be a servant. He used this as an opportunity to distinguish between washing and cleansing. When Peter says, hey, well, if that's good, if washing my feet's good, give me a bath. He says, no, you don't need another bath. In other words, one of the things this passage teaches, I believe, is just another support of eternal security. Jesus says, you don't need washing again, but you do need cleaning up every now and then. You don't need the whole thing washed, but your feet get dirty from walking through this world. And so there's that lesson that Jesus teaches as He's there. Jesus also says some important words. He says to them there, He says, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you will. You don't understand what I'm doing, but you will. You don't know what I'm doing, but you'll understand it eventually. You know when I believe they understood it? I think they understood it as Jesus hung on that cross. As they saw Him ultimately, finally, as that suffering servant hanging on a cross for their sins. That He died for their sins. The ultimate act of servitude. As Jesus takes on the sin of man for nothing He had done. Not for His sin, not for His errors, not for anything that He had done, but He took on the sin of me and you and you and whoever's in that car and whoever's in that car. He took on your sin and carried it to that cross. He was showing His willingness to be a servant to point these men toward the cross. Listen, do you know what we do when we learn to be a servant? We point men and women towards the cross of Jesus Christ. People are not used to seeing a servant. When they see us act as servants, then they know something has happened in our life. Something has changed in our life. We live in a world that is racked with sin and arrogance and pride. And when a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is willing to pour out their heart and to serve, to cross social lines, to cross racial lines, to cross whatever walls and borders this world puts up, we're willing to cross them to be a servant for Jesus Christ. This world looks and says, there's something different about that man. There's something different about that woman. While I'm here, I hadn't planned it, but let me just chase a rabbit for one moment. Let me just run down this little side street. If you've been awake this week, you have seen the news out of South Georgia where a man jogging down the street was murdered in the street. Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ has got to stand up against hatred. To hate a man or a woman for their skin color, to hate a man or a woman for their nationality, that's not Jesus. The Bible tells us He came into this world for all. Listen, we've got to be willing as a church. We're willing to take and we're willing to go and we're willing to stand in front of an abortion clinic and pray against abortion. We got to be equally as offended by people being shot down in our streets. We got to be equally offended by drug pushers who are killing our young people. We've got to be offended by those things. And as believers, as children of God, and one of the great things I hope comes out of what's going on is that we get out of those four walls. And we go out into our communities and outside of the church walls and we learn to become servants of Jesus Christ. In our communities, in our neighborhoods, we become representatives of Jesus Christ. If we're going to look like Jesus, we've got to take on the posture of a servant. We've got to be as persistent as the Savior. And our purpose has got to be the same as Jesus Christ, to point people towards the cross. Folks, I'm getting up here. I'm not on my soapbox. I don't have one. I'm on the porch box. Listen, we got to move beyond inviting people to church. Inviting people to church just lets people go to hell from the church pew. We got to learn to invite people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've got to learn to be servants. You believe the days are short? I believe, as I've said every week we've been out here, I believe that right now Jesus could come flying out of those clouds right over there and take His people home. If you believe that, we've got to be serious about being servants of Jesus Christ. We've got to be willing to serve Him no matter the cost. We've got to be willing to serve Him. Take on the posture. Be persistent. And our purpose must be ultimately pointing people towards Jesus Christ. I know it's odd. I've really enjoyed, actually, being out here, having church out in nature, seeing God's handiwork. I've actually enjoyed it. There's some things about it I don't like, but I've kind of enjoyed it. One thing I don't particularly like is coming to the end of the service, because it's very difficult to give an invitation at this point. But I want to ask you, as you sit in your car, to bow your head for a moment. And I want you to spend some time with God. And I just a few questions you might want to ask Him. Lord, am I the servant You want me to be? Am I serving You when, where, how You want me to? God, what would You have me to do? Whew, that's a loaded question. Lord, what would You have me to change? How would You have me to serve You? God, help me to be persistent. God, You know I've got friends and family. But if I start really selling out and I decide to serve You, I've got some friends, I've got some co-workers. And they're going to come against me. They're going to fight against me at every turn. God, help me to be persistent. God, help me to point people to the cross. Help me to point them toward that empty tomb to salvation. Maybe you're here this morning, and sitting there in your car today, you realize Peter only needed his feet washed. He just needed to be cleaned up. But maybe this morning you're sitting here and you'd say, I need to be washed. I need to be saved. I realize this morning I've never asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't know Him personally. If that's the case this morning, I want to encourage you. And this is difficult, but I want to encourage you. Call me. Call me. We'll talk. I'll meet you somewhere. We'll do something. 704-791-4444. 0218. Call me. That's my personal cell phone. If you need to know about being saved, take that number. Call me. Email me. Simply send it to info@poplargrovebaptist.com. Listen, if you need to know about Jesus this morning, here's what I'm going to tell you. On Facebook Live, streaming out to the world, I'm going to say it. And if they want to arrest me, here I am. If you need to know about being saved today, don't leave this parking lot. You get out of that car and you come and let's talk. Let me show you how you can know Jesus Christ. Just simply when we're done here and the cars start pulling off, you just hang around a minute and we'll talk. I recognize enough of the cars in this parking lot to know there's other people here who will do the same thing. They'll stay and they'll talk with you. They'll sit right here on these steps all day long telling you about Jesus. If you don't know Him, today is the day. Christians, today is the day we take seriously. We get serious about becoming servants of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for allowing us to be here. God, I thank You for every family that's represented in these cars, every person that has come out this morning. God, on a cold Sunday morning, to gather outside. And God, I pray this morning that You'll take Your word. Father, that You will burn it into our hearts. That Your people, those that are called by Your name, God, they'd commit themselves as they pull out of this lot. God, they will commit themselves to be persistent in serving You. God, if there's one sitting here today, if there's one who's listening online, and they don't know Christ, God, I pray that You'd speak to their heart. God, that You'd move on them. And they'd take the time to email, to call, to comment on the Facebook post, somehow to get in contact. Find a local church near them, God, to reach out so someone can explain to them how they can know Jesus Christ. God, I thank You for all You do. I thank You for what You've done, what You're going to do. Which in Jesus' lovely and wonderful name I pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. As we leave again, I don't see where all my guides are, but they're going to guide you around this side. If you haven't been here, we're going to go out this side of the fellowship building. This side over here is going to have a challenge because of the chairs. Lane, can we get the chairs and the speaker out of the way for the cars, please, wherever you went? Thank you for being here. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be careful. Have a great Mother's Day. Thank you for coming. Again, they'll have the offering buckets around there as you go out if you want to drop your offering in. All right. Have a blessed day.